Okay, welcome everybody to our learning at the Amen group. We are learning as always. This is Chos for Aliyah Neshama, for Sarit Martin, Sarit Yuta, Alaha Hashalom, Bas Ephraim, Menachem Mendel, Nadine Martin, Shayachiu. We are also learning as a Chos for Afua Shalem, Abasoch, Archol Yisrael. We just had a capital Tehillim for her merit and her Yeshua, Rezel Bastina. She should have a Refuah Shalema B'soch She'ar Chole Yisrael. Just one word on Refuah Shalema. Some Divrei Chizuk. Rav Shimshon Pinkas, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, says, why is Hashem, when we daven Shmona Esrei, we say He is Baruch Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael. Why do we specifically say He is the healer for Israel? Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael. Why don't we just say He is Rofei Basar Vidam, He heals all flesh. Why is it Dafka vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael? So Shimshon Pinkas says the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, which is really what we're discussing during the duration of today's shir, is so close and it's so intimate. It's like a doctor. What does it mean like a doctor? When you go to the doctor and something's hurting you, is this okay? Yeah? When you go to the doctor and something's hurting you, the doctor doesn't say, what did you do yesterday? Let me think. Yesterday you didn't behave. Yesterday you sinned. Yesterday you wasn't so good. I'm not going to heal you. Shimshon Pinkas says that's din. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals Klal Yisrael b'midas harachamim. He doesn't say, what did you do yesterday? Let me take that into account. All Klal Yisrael did sin, so today I'm not going to be a Rofei Cholim. No, he's Rofei Chole Ama Yisrael. He heals Klal Yisrael with rachamim, not with midas adin. Rachamim overlooks yesterday, or this morning, or the day before, to send the Yeshua b'mehera with rachamim. And of course, that is what we are, like the Rabbi said, davening for, and learning for, and doing acts of chesed, for our refuah should be with complete rachamim, for Rezel Bas Dina B'Soch Sh'ar Chol Yisrael. So, the title of the shir is, the Shechina is closer than you think. Let's start with the parsha. On this week's parsha, which is Parshas B'Ha'aloscha, very chashuv, and the parsha opens. Okay. Daber Hashem al Moshe Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, "Daber al Aaron va'amar to Elav." Should speak to Aaron and say to him, "V'ha'aloscha as haneros." When you cause the neros, the flame to go up, amol penei ha-menorah, towards the face of the menorah, towards the middle branch, ya'iru shivas haneros. The seven lamps shall cast their light. Vayaskein Aaron. Aaron did exactly what he was commanded to do. Amol penei ha-menorah. Towards the face of the menorah, ha'ala neroseha, he caused the flame to go up. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, like Hashem had commanded Moshe. So I can't help but tell you that when I was standing here, getting ready to say Sarit's name for Azchus for an Aliyah Neshama, it struck me that I was starting with Neros and the menorah, and that her neshama ascended to the Olam HaEmes on the fourth night of Chanukah. May her neshama continue to illuminate our lives for eternity. That's what it says. There's a special inyan. Of course, the neshama is compared to the ner. So on the level of the pshah, we're talking about lighting the menorah. And on the level of the drash, we're talking about the neshama of man. And what does Rashi say, Baha'aloscha? Al shem shahalahav oleh. What do you mean, Baha'aloscha? You should light the menorah. What do you mean when the menorah goes up? What do you mean? The menorah doesn't go up. Al shem shahalahav ola, the flame goes up of the fire. Therefore it says, lashon aliyah. But of course, again, on the level of the drash, not only does the flame of the candle go up, but the flame of the candle of the soul of man also goes up. Shatzarich lahadlik. How does Aaron have to light? Ad shetehe shalheves ola me'ela. Quoting the Gemara, the flame has to go up by itself. Each person has to light their neshama to keep it aflame till their flame goes up by itself. Furthermore, the rabbis explain that there was a step in front of the menorah. Kozman shehaner dolek afshar letaken. As long as that ner is dolek afshar letaken. Sometimes, hopefully, we do a cheshbon nefesh, whether it's an exact time of the day or haphazardly during the day, or when you're in your fast talk or cooking and you're thinking about something you did, you could become discouraged. You could, maybe not you. I could become discouraged. How could it be so many times I did what I'm trying not to do? Ad shetehe shalheves olam me'ela. You should know that the flame will go up. The Nair will go up. As long as there is life, you can be misakin. You should never think, I can't light my lamp towards the face of the menorah. You should never think, I will not be zocha to that illumination. You should never discourage yourself to think, I did it 10 times, I'm going to do it an 11th time. No, maybe you did it 10 times, and the 11th time, you're going to be successful. Ki ner mitzvah. How do we light our proverbial candle? Ki ner mitzvah. The mitzvah is my candle. The Torah are more than that. The candle illuminates a small space, but R illuminates a very large space. The mitzvahs illuminate my davar amos, but the Torah, when it becomes my lifestyle, illuminates my very self, my very life. And when you reach and you repair and you climb the step that is in front of the menorah, I told you, Rashi says, the rabbis learn out, ba'aloscha asaneris, there is a step in front of the menorah. You come to the realization that the Shechina is closer than you think. When you climb up and you go to light your candle, all of a sudden you realize the Shechina is closer than you think. The menorah represents the wisdom and the light of Torah, the Chachma and the Ar, which serve as our guide in life. I said it this morning over in one of my classes. For those who heard, please forgive me. But you have to drive a Musar Haskel from wherever you are. The Shechina is closer than you think. When Rabbi Tzim Fuchs invited me to speak on this topic, and she said, do you like the topic? We were spending a beautiful, very meaningful Torah-filled Shavuos together. I said, I love it. She said, you love it? I said, I love it. The Shechina is closer than you think. The root word of Shechina is Shachin. The Shechina is not someone who is 500 miles away from me. Someone who's 500 miles away from me, I wouldn't say he's my Shachin. I would say, wow, he's my acquaintance, he's my friend, but he lives overseas. The Shechina, my Shachin, the neighbor, you only identify your neighbor as someone who's what? Very close to you. I said, I love it. On Shabbos, we were in Brooklyn for Shabbos, and when I was walking home from a luncheon, bar mitzvah luncheon, there was an older gentleman. You know, at the end of a driveway, there's like a, at the end of the driveway, between the sidewalk and the street, there's a little ramp. I don't even want to call it a ramp. I don't know what it's called.
Apron.
A what?
It's an apron, it's called.
A what?
The apron. Apron.
Imprint?
Apron.
Apron. Thank you. It's an apron? That's what it's called? Okay, I didn't know. The space between the sidewalk and the road is called an apron? That little incline? Okay. So there was a gentleman, an older firmier, standing there, and he couldn't get up. This apron, this little incline, and it wasn't like steep. It was small. It was very, very slight incline. And he couldn't get up. He didn't say anything, but I was walking by with my 10-year-old twins, and I realized that I said, do you need help? He said, if you could just give me your hand. So I said, ask one of the 10-year-olds, the taller one, because he was an older gentleman who needed to be pulled up, to give the man his hand, and he helped him come up. So we learn a few things from here. Number one, Leinin of Chinuch and Chesed has to start early, of course. Number two, Zokif Kefufim, that I can get up the apron without thinking about going up the apron. And number three, that's like our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We are on that incline, and even though it might not be so steep, when I'm in that difficult time, I feel like I can't get up. It's only a few steps, it's only a few miles, why can't I get up? But Kosh Baruch Hu extends his hand, Kaviyachal, says, I'm your Shachin. I'm not so far. Your neighbor's right there. Give me your hand. I will help pull you up. Ah, Shachin and Shechina. Chadva. Okay. Rav Soloveitchik writes of his grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He would compare his approach when he was learning something and he couldn't find the answer and he couldn't find the Teretz to the Kasha and the Rambam. Rav Chaim Brisker would say he's like a traveler, and he's traveling, and he's trying to reach his destination in the darkness of night. It's very dark. And in the distance, he sees the flashing of a dim light. That's his ultimate destination. That light points him in the proper direction. Even if Rav Chaim, says Rav Soloveitchik, was only in the initial stages of formulating his answer, he intuitively knew to move where? towards the light, towards the flashing, the sensitivity, the perception, to understand the underlying message, to look beyond the simple theme in the words, and look deeper, look farther, find the light that's beckoning to you. Quote, writer of Soloveitchik, one must perceive the faint blinking light and instinctively move in its direction. Perceive the blinking light that is calling to you. The Shekhinah is closer than you think. So when we talk about the Shekhinah, of course, we invariably go back to Shemos, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Ches, Shemos 25a, Pasuk Hei, Pasuk Ches, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Ches, Vasuli Mikdash, V'shachanti B'socham. We got married at Ma'amad Har Sinai. The Chopo is the mountain. Hashem is the Chasan, Chaviyacha, Klai Yisrael is the Kala, so to speak. The Ksuba is the Aseres Adiris. We need a house. We need somewhere to move in. So after Ma'amad Har Sinai, we have Truma Tetzave, Vayaka Pekudei, and a little bit of Kisisa. You need somewhere to move in. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Vasuli Mikdash, make for me a sanctuary. V'shachanti, Shachain, Shechina. You and I will become neighbors. We will be very, very close. When we describe our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are different manifestations, and therefore different terms to describe our relationship. We have a marriage, Kabbalah Satorah, we just spoke about that. He is our father, Avinu. Rifa'enu, we began the shir speaking about how he is Rifa'enu. He is our king, Malkeinu. Rifa'enu is he, our healer. We daven for Rachamim. Avinu is the father, it's merciful. Avinu, Malkeinu, on the other hand, represents a much stricter attribute, and Malkeinu represents din, justice. He's our neighbor, he's our shachain. He's our friend. Re'acha, re'avicha al tazov, says the Pasuk of Mishlei. Your friend and your father's friend, do not abandon. And Rashi quotes us on the Gemara and says, who's your friend? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you with me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shachein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rifa'inu, the Almighty is Avinu, the Almighty is Malkeinu. He's our neighbor, he's our Shachein, he's your friend. So I heard a beautiful vart told over on Shavuos by Rabbi Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. In the name of the Ohalei Shem, Rav Shem Klingberg, Hashem Yukom Damo, who was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichron. So the Ohalei Shem points out something very nice. The first word of the Torah is, everyone should know the answer, Bereishis, the first word. So if you look at the Nukudos in Bereishis, it's very interesting. Under the B, should I write it?
Yeah, sure.
Rabbi Tzvi Fuchs, could I erase?
Sure.
Maybe I'm using the wrong side. Sorry. Is it big enough?
Yes.
Okay. So if you look at the Nukudos of Bereishis, says the Ohalei Shem, and I'm telling you it's very hard for Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, you see something very interesting. You have two dots, the Shva, you have two dots, the Tzeira, you have one dot, the Chiri. Okay? These represent, says the Ohalei Shem, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beautiful var. This is, he's our father, we are. Shad, I just quote a pasuk this morning. Hashem says, "Klai Yisrael is the Na'ar, the Ohavehu. He is the child, and I love him. The father figure, the son. He is our friend. He is our neighbor. He is our spouse, so to speak. You are next to that person. When you think of a marriage, it's not one on the chanapi, one on top of the other. It should be one next to each other. Neighbors, one next to each other. And finally, the chirik. And the chirik is Hashem is Echad. Vayah be'amahu yeh Hashem Echad u'shmo Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu manifests beautiful var in different ways. So I went over to him after the shir. It was a very beautiful shir. And he knew the Baal Turim, of course. But the Baal Turim points out that there's no shuruk in the first word. There's no oo sound in Bereishis, right? It doesn't say boo. There's no oo. There's no shuruk. So the Baal Turim says that's because shuruk. Shuruk, if you scramble the letters, what word does that say?
Sheker.
There's no semblance, says the Baal Turim, of sheker, of deceit, of falsehood in the Torah. But I said to her, Moshe Sweet Weinberg, perhaps you could propose something else, something very beautiful, based on what the Ole Shem says. There's two dots, father, son. There's two dots, a relationship of, let's say, a partnership, a neighbor, and one. There's no three, because in our relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, there's no three. In an intimate connection with the Shekhinah, there's me, and there's Hashem. Now, yes, I understand we don't live for ourselves, we branch out, but there's no three because the basis of our foundation is HaKadosh Baruch Hu and me. Close. Ein od novado, on the one hand, and on the other hand, B'tzam Elokim Nivra Ha'adam. It's me and him in my relationship, but that's the foundation of Torah. It's that recognition that the whole chiyus of my life comes from being close to Ribono Shel Olam and then branching up. Because then, of course, we do come to three dots later in the Torah. Just not in the first word. Just not in the foundation. Just not in the beginning. It's Hashem, your father. Hashem, your neighbor. There's only Hashem. So how do we live a connected life? How do we bring Him close? The Shekhinah is closer than you think. We're journeying through Pirkei Avos, and we just read Parak Aleph. This past Shabbos, Parak Aleph, Mishnah Beis, Ashlosha Dvarim Olam Omid. You know the Mishnah, Torah, Avodah, Valgmilas Chosadim. It represents three different realms of our Avodah Hashem. Torah enriches and ennobles us, Bein Adam La'atzma. Avodah, which is Tfilah, Bein Adam La'makam. And find the Gmilas Chosadim, of course. I said to my children after they helped that man up, I said, you should always be zocha to have a life of doing for somebody else, to have a life of chesed. If we engage in those three aspects, Torah, ben adam la'atzmo, avodah, tefillah, ben adam la'makom, and finally chesed, ben adam l'chaveiro, we bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu close. In regard to times of trouble, Eis Tzara, when we wait for Refuah Shleima, when we daven, Shlomo HaMelech says, Ra'av kiyeh ba'aretz, if there will be a famine in the land, Dever kiyeh, if there will be a plague, Shidafon, Yerkon, Arba, Chasil kiyeh, there will be disease, wind blast, withering, locust, enemies, Kol nega, Kol machala, any plague, any illness, what should we do? What should we do, says Shlomo HaMelech? The enemy's at the gate. There's withering, there's famine, there's drought, there's locusts. Kol machala, kol nega. What do we do? What do you think Shlomo HaMelech says we do? Come to the Beis HaMikdash and you daven. Kol tefillah, kol techina, asher tia lechol adam. Any prayer, any supplication that any man will have, lechol amcha Yisrael, for your entire congregation of Israel, ish nega levavo, ufaras kapav, al habayis hazeh, when he put up, when he built the Beis HaMikdash, what's the point of the Beis HaMikdash? To be makriv who? Not only the carbon, to be makriv who? Yourself. Karav. Savajit says, God is always responsive to our prayers. Rabbi Tzvi Fuchs said, don't stop davening, don't stop learning, don't stop the acts of chesed, it's a schos for refuah. Savajit says, Hashem is always responsive to our prayers, quote, which are warranted under all circumstances. Should never think there's no possibility of Yeshua. Should never think it can't be. Should never think the doctor said. The doctor said, "Ufaras kapa vel habayis hazeh." You come to my house, says the Shekhinah. You put out your hands. Kol nega, kol machla, kol shidafon. Don't worry. You come to me because he's Avinu, he's Malkeinu, he's Re'acha, he's the groom, he's the neighbor, he's the Shachin. A person who is suffering continues from salvation, quote, should not be embarrassed to call out to God. This is key. The Shekhinah is very close. You shouldn't be embarrassed. You know why that's so important? Let's say you made a bad choice, not you, me, that got me into that mess in the first place. No, I'm being serious. We have Bechira. Man is Bechira Chafshi. So let's say I chose, and somehow it wasn't the best. In hindsight, it wasn't really a very good idea. That never happens. I'm alone? Oh. It happens. Why did I do it? What was I thinking? How could I have said it? So then maybe you feel, what right do I have to daven to the Ribono Shel Olam? Whose fault is it? My fault. So that sentence is key. A person who is suffering should not be embarrassed to call out to God. Hashem will grant the prayer if He finds it reasonable. The Rambam teaches, our very existence generates a Torah obligation to pray. Finite, mortal human beings must turn to the infinite God for their sustenance. And the Rav Soloveitchik speaks about the Beis HaMikdash, and we just quoted Shlomo HaMelech from Malachim Sefer Aleph. The Beis HaMikdash is a central point for prayer, is one of Judaism's central themes. What's the difference between Karbanos and Tefillah, says Rav Soloveitchik? Today we don't have Karbanos anymore, so we have Tefillah. So he points out a crucial difference. They're really not exactly the same. You know why? A Karban can be brought by somebody else on your behalf. Soloveitchik says if all of the halachic requirements are met, you could send someone else and he could bring a carbon. I know the halachas of carbonos. I'm repeating what I learned. You could send someone else to bring your carbon. What's the difference when it comes to tefillah? You need to daven yourself. On the other hand, why tefillah must include a personal experience of closeness to God. Tefillah must include a personal experience, as of salvation, of closeness to God. If you don't feel He's your Shachin, and He is, if you don't feel that Shechina is closer than you think, and He's 500 miles away, I'm talking about the days before email and iMessage and all the social things. I said to my son something about, I'm going to make fun of myself, pint rest. So he says, "What are you saying, Mommy?" So I said, you know, pint rest. He didn't know what I was saying. He's like, "Mommy, interest with a P. Pinterest." Okay, it's one of the social media. So him and my daughter were, Baruch Hashem, they're wonderful. But it's okay. Okay, I'm a little older. So I don't know. The days before all of this, who are you going to ask for a favor? I mean, really, the days before this technology. You're going to ask your neighbor, you're going to ask the person who's 500 miles away. What's a guy 500 miles away going to do for you? The Shekhinah is closer than you think. So if Soloveitchik says you should never be embarrassed. You should never feel your prayers are unwarranted. You should never say, "But the doctor said." Who's the Borech Rofe Chole Amo Yisrael? The doctor's the Shaliach. The Ribono Shel Olam's in charge. This experience, says Rav Soloveitchik, quote, cannot be fulfilled by a proxy. Because tefillah is standing in the presence of the King. Prayer requires a closeness to God. Shlomo HaMelech says in this passage, "Va'ata tishma ha-shamayim, Kosh Baruch Hu, in heavens you will hear." Rav Soloveitchik says, this phrase depicts the true emotion, the true character of tefillah. It is, quote, an innate face-to-face conversation with God. Could you be closer to the Shekhinah than a face-to-face conversation with your Ribono Shel Olam? Could you be closer? And then the sentence, which I absolutely love. In this sense, so to speak, God lives at 12 Har Habayis. I live at 13 Har Habayis. And we are on excellent terms. The purpose of the Mikdash, the Tefillos, so Shlomo HaMelech, Ufaras Kapa Velabayis Azeh, whatever your trouble come to me, spread out your hands. Daven. Never be embarrassed. But that has to come with the realization that the Shekhinah is closer than you think. In a sense, says Rav Soloveitchik, God lives at 12 Harabayis, I love it. I live at 13 Harabayis. And we are on excellent terms. Vasuli Mikdash, we already quoted the Pasuk Perchav Hei Pasuchas, Vasuli Mikdash V'shachanti B'sochav. It's an if-then statement. Listen, the Asuli Mikdash, if you make yourselves into the sanctuary you're supposed to be, then V'shachanti, it's not working.
Okay,
testing? Okay, I'm just going to, my voice is going to carry. Vasuli Mikdash, if you make yourself into a sanctuary, then Vishachanti Visochaim, then I will dwell in your midst. When I talk like this, how is it? Can you hear in the back? Yeah, they're saying it's okay. Okay. If I wrote in my notes, in every land, because we've been in a lot of lands, in every situation, because we continue to be in every situation. I want to mention that the second yahrzeit of Eyal Yifrach, Naftali Frankel, and Gilad Shaar is tonight into tomorrow. If you can build the mikdash for the Ribono Shel Olam, you'll be zocha to Mishkan. What does that mean? If, then, if you build it, the neighbor will move in. In this sense, he's at 12 harabais, I'm at 13 harabais, and we are on excellent terms. But Mordechai Gifter Zatzal would relate the following story about Rav Matal Pogromansky, a brilliant and young Talmid Chacham who Rav Gifter met when he learned in Telz in the mid-1930s, shortly after World War II. One second. I think we're back on. Thank you, Robinson Fuchs. Okay, how is it now? Okay. Thank you. Shortly after World War II, Rav Matal and a friend were traveling, and they planned to reach their destination well before Shabbos. However, they became engrossed, lost in thought, total discussion, and they missed their train stop. It was almost Shabbos. They get up in a strange town. They don't know where they are, where and with whom are they going to spend Shabbos. Rav Matal's friend was horrified. What are they going to do? Shabbos was approaching. Nowhere, no Jewish community is nearby. So Rav Matal said to his friend, quote, "A Jew is never lost. If we're here, we're not lost. It's because we are meant to be here." Rav Matal gave his friend a Torah insight that proved the point that a Jew is never lost. A person who follows the word of Hashem is never lost. You're where God wants you to be. So Rav Matal's friend replied, and he said, "The Vart is wonderful. Ober Rav Matal, mir zenin farfa blanje. But Rav Matal, we really are lost." Not one to give up hope, Rav Matal inquired. Turns out there's one Jewish family in town. They knock on the door. The Baal Bais opens the door and he says, "Are you Eliyahu Hanavi? Are you Eliyahu Hanavi? But either of you happen to be a Mayo. My wife gave birth to a baby boy last Shabbos. I couldn't find a Mayo to come to the town. The bris is supposed to be tomorrow." Rav Matal says, "It just happened to be that the friend who is with me is a Mayo, and not only that, he has his tools with him. The baby boy, Machnisal Briso Shal Avram Avinu, was on that Shabbos." Rav Gifter Zatzal would relate this story when he wanted to illustrate the Amuna of Rav Matal and to teach us that we are always, everywhere, in the hands of the Ribono Shel Olam. And if you live with that knowledge, then he's always close, because you're never lost. My daughter, I was nervous about something, which I shouldn't be, because you're always with Hashem, human nature. So she says to me, "Mommy, you shouldn't be nervous." It was about a speaking engagement in a different community. She said, "It doesn't matter what you said. If Hashem wants you to speak there, it will work out. And if Hashem does not want you to speak there, it won't work out. So why are you nervous?" So what did I tell her? She's turning 13, but Ezra Hashem Rosh Chodesh Tammuz. So I said, "You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right." And as we forget, we need to be reminded that the Shekhinah is closer than you think. Pasuk tells us, "Vayikra Hashem Elokim al Adam." Hashem Elokim, Hashem precedes Elokim, Rachamim precedes Din. They called out to him and he said, "Ayaka, Adam, we have a little problem. Where are you?" "What do you mean, where am I? I'm in the Garden of Eden. How many places could I possibly be?" "Ayaka, where are you? What have you done? We were so close. It was me and you strolling together in Gan Eden. It was me and you pre-sin. Ayaka, where are you? Where are you in Ruchnius, Adam HaRishon?" Rav Palkovitz, who is the son-in-law of Rav Kalman Levine, Hashem Yukom Damo, one of the Harnof Kedoshim, we have to make sure as time goes on we do not forget the Kedoshim of Kal Yisrael. "My father-in-law's davening," he said, "about Rav Kalman Levine during the Yamim Noraim was extraordinary. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, his Shemona Esrei would last between 80 to 100 minutes. talking about tefillah and recognizing where you are. Ufaris kapavel bayis hazeh. Amadet shir in Yerushalayim said on Yom Kippur. Rav Kalman Davin, quote, like a nefesh b'li guf, a soul without a body. When he recited vidui, he kept many matzorim open in front of him to enhance his kavana. Furthermore, his ayin tova, coming up to Parsha Shlach, they lacked an ayin tova, the Meraglim. His ayin tova, the ability to see good in all people, Rav Kalman Levine, was amazing. He had something good to say about everyone. Judging by his words, said his son-in-law, I couldn't tell who in the yeshiva was a bachur, who was a magid shir, who was the avrich, who was the ramim. He praised everyone so effusively. To give a typical example, on Pesach last year, the refrigerator broke. The next time I saw him, he had a whole list of nice things to say about the repairman. He was on time, he was a ben Torah, he did the work for a good price. The ability to see the good. You know, another lesson that happened to me recently. You know, Seasons had free Slurpees last week, the day after Shavuos, in honor of 6/13. On 6/14, because 6/13 was on Shavuos, 6/14 there were free Slurpees. Right, I'm telling you this for a reason. So of course, every child comes home from school and tells the mother, want to go for free Slurpees? So we too went for free Slurpees. So the machines obviously can't keep up with the demand. So the bottom good portion of the cup, not such a big cup in the first place, has mostly very colorful liquid, bright blue, bright red, whatever color you chose, tops a little bit of slushy. So when we were walking back to the car, I met another mother I know going with her kids. How are you? So I said to her, you should just know the bottom half is liquid. So you know what she said to me? Why are you seeing the bad? Couldn't believe it. She said, they're getting free Slurpees. I said, oh, I'm not seeing the bad, I'm just telling you what to expect. Tova, aretz, ma'od, ma'od, said Kai Ben Yoshua, it's really good there. Don't look at the giants. Don't look at the people burying their dead. Don't look at the water at the bottom of the cup. Tova, aretz, ma'od, ma'od. If Hashem wants, we'll be successful. That's Ayat Tova. His Amunas Chachamim, Kalman Levine, was in a class by itself. Mm-hmm. Everyone knew he was careful about doing what the Rabbanim said. When my first son was born, I asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita what he should be named. Rav Chaim chose the name, and when I told my father-in-law that he had chosen the name, he went around for 2 weeks telling people the Urim V'Tumim had named his grandchild. Every Purim, 10 minutes before Shkia, it's known as a very Kadosh time, a time that is opportune for Tfilos. They would stop their seuda, make a mishaberech for cholim, speaking about cholim today, people in need of shaduchim. His life was a kaleidoscope of avodas Hashem. But how? What did we say before? It's not just Torah, it's not just avoda, and it's not just gemilas chasadim. A kaleidoscope incorporates all facets, all aspects, all colors. Ayaka, where am I? Forget Adam, we know where he was. He ate the fruit, he was kicked out. Where am I? Am I close to Hashem? Ufaras kapav al habayis hazeh. Did I make a mikdash for the Shekhinah to move in? If then, or am I far away? Chas v'shalom. Hashem took man, vayanicheu b'gan Eden. He put him into Gan Eden, says the Pasuk says. La'avdo l'shama. To work it, to guard it. And Hashem commanded the first man, saying, "Mikol Eitzagan Ochol Techel." You could eat from everything. What does "Mikol Eitzagan" mean? All the fruits of the tree. That's what it means. But there's no exception to every rule. So what's the exception? "Me Eitzadas Tovera." There's one tree. Don't eat it. On the day you eat it, you will surely die. Good. Then God says, it's not good for Adam to be alone. Eselo Ezer Kenegdo. Let's make for him a wife. Now she comes along and sees the fruit. Adam falls into a deep sleep. Hashem takes from his side and he closes the flesh and he builds a Chava. It's beautiful. Adam says, Lo sapam etzame atzamai bisarmi psari. She's taken from man, she's flesh from my flesh, bone from my bone. How close is Adam in the beginning? About as close as we cannot imagine, because we can't even imagine what reality was like in Gan Eden. I don't even know what it means. I'm in big trouble. Aren't we seduced by sin? Don't I think it's going to be really good to say the Lashon Hara before I say it? I'm also seduced. Am I so different than Chava, who listened to the Nachash? That's my middle name, by the way. Vatei Isha ki tov eitz l'machal. I don't know. I know it's forbidden, but it looks pretty good. V'chi taiva hu le'inayim. This week's parsha, his avu taiva. It's desirable to contemplate. She's being seduced by what? Not the tree, by sin. The nechmare it's lahaskil. Oh, it's so nice to think about what is forbidden. She takes from the fruit, she eats it, and she gives it to him. And then the pasuk tells us two verses later, perikim pasuk ches. Ayishmu es kol Hashem Elokim es halich begam the ruach hayam. Very strange pasuk. They hear the voice of Hashem Elokim. What's he doing? Walking in the garden by the wind of the day. And what do? They hide from Hashem in the middle of the garden. What do you mean God's walking in the garden? God's saying what? Vayishmu es kol Hashem Elokim es halich begam the ruach hayam. Where is Ribbono Shel'olam going? So the Kabbalists explain that when the Almighty created the world, it was supposed to be Iker Shechina B'Tachtonim. What does Iker Shechina B'Tachtonim mean? The Iker, the Shechina, was going to reside where? Down here. But after sin, the plans changed. And then it became Iker Shechina B'Elyonim. Why? Because Hashem and sin can't dwell together. The Shechina could be very, very close. Having a great day. You're at 12 rabbis, he's at 13 rabbis, you're in excellent terms. And then you speak the peace of Lashon Hara. Would that we would hear the sound of Hashem God walking in the garden. Perhaps then the ramification of sin will be that much more real to us. You know what Hashem is doing? Leaving. Why is he leaving? Because the Almighty and sin cannot reside together. Now Hashem is far away. So how do we bring him back? That brings us to the Mishkan. If you want to bring him back, what was Egel Zav? What do we do to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We push them away. How do you bring him back? That's building for him the Mishkan so that he can dwell within. The Pasuk says in Parakei of Bereishis, Vayishali Chanuch Es Alokim. There's a biblical figure in Sefer Bereishis, a descendant of Adam HaRishon, known as Chanuch. And it tells us that Chanuch walked with Hashem. Chazal says something interesting about Chanuch. He was a cobbler. Right, very good. And with each stitch he took, he would make yichudim. He would make spiritual unifications. He's a cobbler. What kind of yichudim? Three different interpretations. First of all, the Chasidim say, he would say, L'shem yichud ptusha b'richu shchinte. Each stitch is for the sake, for the name of the Almighty and Shechina. The Balei Musar have a different explanation. The Balei Musar say he wasn't making those kind of yichudim. He was saying each stitch should be honest, proper, worth all the money you're going to pay for it. Should be honest in my labor. Rav Shmuel Charkover, Rav Shimshon Pinkas tells this over, gave a different explanation. What does it mean he made yichudim? When a person has a job, you ask him what he does. What does he usually tell you? What his job is. One person says, I'm a cobbler. One person says, I'm a grocer. One person might say, I'm a dressmaker. He tells you what his profession is. Chanuch would sew his shoes, and with each stitch he would say, I'm not a cobbler. His self-concept was not defined by his occupation. What rather defined his who he was? The occupation or Torah, your job or mitzvos. He was a cobbler by trade, but each stitch he reiterated to himself, this does not define me. This is not who I am. It's fascinating. There's another cobbler who has a similar name. Does anyone remember? And now we go to the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos. One second. Thank you for the water. Okay, it's very, very interesting. There's another shoemaker who we encounter, Rabbi Yochanan Hassanler, okay? In Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Dalet, Rabbi Yochanan Hassanler, Omer, every gathering that is for the sake of heaven will endure. Every gathering that is not for the sake of heaven will not endure. Who was he? Well, let's look at his name. Rabbi Yochanan Hassander. How did he define himself? What comes first? The rabbi. He's a Torah Jew. What comes next? His name. What comes third? His job. Now, it's fascinating to consider something. I want you to listen to this. Chanoch and Yochanan both have the root word of chen. And chen means, it's very hard to translate the word chen. I shouldn't have said what chen means, because the truth is you can't translate the word chen. Atisa Esther, vayiti Esther noses chen, ve'ene koro eha. Charm is not the right word.
Pleasant.
No, Amna, Ama, we just had to go through us. You can't translate chen. When you see someone who has chen, you know they have chen. Okay? The English words are not going to do it. So of all people, to think who would have chayim, these were in the working world people. How could it be that they had chayim? They were working with shoes. What's your job? I'm a sandler. What's your job? I'm a cobbler. What's your job? I'm a roofer. Is the Shekhinah close when you make your stitches? When you do the laundry, I'm not joking. When you cook the soup, when you're schlepping the groceries, when you're preparing a meal, when you're making appointments on the phone. I hate the phone. Sometimes I have to use the phone. Is the Shekhinah close? Because they define themselves not by their profession, but by their relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, Hashem gave them the name Chayin, and they found favor in the eyes of all who saw them, ultimately in the eyes of the Ribbono Shel Olam. By the way, I want to point out something very, very interesting to you. And that is, it's interesting, a sandler makes shoes. Why shoes? Why are we talking about shoes here? I made something else. So the Gemara says, when you make the bracha of Shah Sali called Tzarki, are you with me? What are you supposed to have in mind? Well, no, when is it supposed to be? When you put on your shoes. Okay, don't go home and do that. We don't do that anymore. But Shasali called Tzarki refers to putting on shoes. Well, that seems to be very strange. Did you hear what I said? He made for me everything I need. I'm putting on my shoes. You can't think of something more significant in everything you need than shoes. So you know the answer? Shoes have to fit you exactly. Sure, it could be a little big. Doesn't have to exactly fit. But if your shoes are too big or your shoes are too small, you're going to end up with a blister, you can't walk, your foot hurts you. The shoes have to fit you how? Exact. What's a bracha of Shasali called Tzarki? My life fits me? Exact. Because if it was too big or if it was too small, if it was a little bit different, it would be a what? Pain for life. I can't walk in shoes that are too small. How far are you going to get? I can't go in shoes that are too big. How far are you going to get? Sha'asali called Tzarki. My shoes fit me exactly. My life fits me exactly. B'chol d'rachacha da'ehu. B'chol d'rachacha da'ehu. In all your ways you shall know him, says Mishlei. V'hu yayasha arachosecha. He will make your path straight. Rambam says, what do you mean, b'chol d'rachacha da'ehu? When you're mending your shoes, you should know him. What does the Rambam say now when you're mending shoes? He says when you sleep. When you sleep, if you sleep with the kavana that you're going to bed so you could be strong tomorrow, that's avodas Hashem. Even though you're not thinking about Hashem when you're sleeping. So sometimes when I have trouble, when I have trouble falling asleep, I really do this. I really say, remember, Chanuch made his yichurim. I would really say, "Yinini miuchon mezuman lakad mitzvas asay shal v'nishmarta ma'od enaf zoseichem." I don't do it all the time. I should remember all of it. It's not only when I can't fall asleep. But I can't fall asleep. I try and remind myself that I'm sleeping so I could have koach for the next day. B'chol drachacha da'ehu. Whatever you do, the Shekhinah is very close to you. The Gemara says, Arba tzrichin chozek. Four things need strengthening. Does anyone know there? What are the four things that the Gemara says need strengthening? Yeah, I'm asking. No? Okay. And if you know you don't want to say? Okay. Brachos 32 B, Lama Beis Beis, Torah, Maisim Tovim, Tfila, and Derech Eretz. Torah needs strengthening. Maisim Tovim needs strengthening. Tefila, Kaveh, El Hashem, says the Gemara. Listen to this, it's relevant to our Shia. How do you know Tefila needs strengthening? Kaveh, El Hashem, hope to Hashem. Chazak, V'ameitz, Libecha, V'kaveh, El Hashem, hope to God. Strengthen your heart, gird yourself, and then hope to God. So why do we say Kaveh, El Hashem two times? Because sometimes you daven, you don't see the answer. So the Gemara says, tefillah needs strengthening. Don't give up. Kaveh El Hashem. Then strengthen yourself. Gird yourself. Go back. Kaveh El Hashem. Once again, hope to Hashem. Even when you didn't see the answer. And finally, what else needs strengthening? Derech Eretz. So Derech Eretz, we typically think to mean nice manners. But Rashi says on the Gemara, it's actually referring to our profession. Rashi says, if he's a craftsman, let him strengthen himself in his craft. If he is a merchant, in his merchant, let him be a good merchant. And if he is a warrior, ish mechama, he should strengthen himself in war. Regardless of what a person does, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, do it bechol kochol. Do it with all of your strength. This is a religious value. Why, he says, but kol kocho applies not only with your boss down here, but kol kocho, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, applies to the boss. Capital T, capital B. So now we have another term to describe our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We said he's our friend. We said we got married at Har Sinai. He is our father. He is our king. He is the Shekhinah, which is the neighbor. He's the boss. When you go to work for the boss, how do you have to be? Very good. Do the best you can. Lefum tzara agra. On the one hand, shivisi Hashem lenegdi sami. Hashem is very close. And on the other hand, says David HaMelech, kapitul nun aleph. Hashem is opposite me always, and what else is opposite me always? Vechatasi negdi sami. If you keep both of those in mind all the time, then you know the Shekhinah is very close. And if you keep your sin in mind all the time, you're not going to push him away. Nobody wants to hear the sound of Hashem Elohim walking away. The greatest consequence of doing a mitzvah is you bring Hashem close. The Shekhinah is closer than you think. And the worst consequence of sin is that Hashem leaves. By the way, Yochanan came. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai became ill, nichnasu tamidav lebakro, his tamidim came to do bika cholim. Kevan shara osam. What did he start to do when he saw them? He started to cry. Yischa lifkos. Starts to cry. Amulo tamidav. His tamidim said to him, Rabbi. What do they say? Ner Yisrael, you're the candle of Israel. Amud HaYemini, you're the right pillar. Patish HaChazak, the strong hammer. Those are the descriptive terms for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He wasn't just the God of Hadar, he's the candle of Israel. Mipnei Ma Tabocha, why are you crying? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, if you were bringing me before a king of flesh and blood, today he's here, tomorrow he's in the grave. If he gets angry at me, it's not infinite anger. If he imprisons me, it's not forever. If he puts me to death, it's only in this world. And furthermore, I can appease him with words, and I can persuade him and bribe him with money. But I not cry. How afraid are we sometimes before a bus or a dumb? An important doctor appointment, an important job interview, an important appearance in court. How afraid are we? They're bringing me before the King of all kings, the Almighty Hashem. He lives forever, and forever and ever. And if he's angry at me, it could be forever. And if he imprisons me, it could be forever. And if I don't merit life in the eternal world, it could be forever. When you get up to Shemayim after 120, and they start playing back your life, and you try and say, it wasn't me, I didn't do it, I didn't say it, I didn't mean it. You can't persuade anyone up there with words. It's not going to work. There's no rewind up there, there's rewind down here. To rewind, tshuva. All the more so, he said, there's two paths before me, and I don't know which path they're taking me. Should I not cry? So they asked him for a bracha. What was the bracha that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai gave them on his deathbed? Who knows? May it be the will of Hashem. May you cause your flame to go up. May you perceive the Shechina as close to you as your neighbor. As afraid as you are of that important appointment, may the fear of God be upon you. So what did they say? And that's the whole bracha. And what did he say? Ulavai, halavai, that you live a life where you perceive the Shekhinah so close that you never sin. The Shekhinah is so close you could ask for anything you need. The Shekhinah is so close there's no three. It's God and me are on top. It's God and me next to each other. And the Chirik Hashem is only one. I'm going to end 2 minutes with a story. I saw the mishpacha. This past Friday, Yael Mermelstein writes, I went to pay a shiva call to my neighbor and my friend who had lost her father. Excuse me. He was only 64 years old. His passing had been relatively sudden. I never met her family. I knew nothing about her father, Lenifter. I went to pay a shiva visit. Quite busy, the house was quite busy, but I was looking forward to speaking with her. And I sat down and I said to her, so what did your father do? And she said, what did he do? He woke up every morning at 3 o'clock in the morning to make sure to get to the kosel for Nate's. He had a long list of people to daven for. And he lit a candle for departed souls. And then he would start his tefillos. Every morning, I said. Yes, every morning. He never missed a day other than Shabbos or Yom Tov when he could not travel far. He davened Vesik in those days too, just not at the Kosel. For 35 years, he was at the Kosel for Nate. Rain or shine, sleet or snow. Peaceful times and times of unrest. That's what he did. And I came home, I told my family in amazement. I went to be Menachem Avel, I asked her what her father did, and she told me, he went to the Kosel every day, that's what he did. He davened. Interesting, said my father, my husband and my daughter. He actually ran a shoe store. Now the story is unbelievable because we spoke about Chanoch, and we spoke about Birochen and Asandler, and we spoke about shoes, Shasali Gotzarki, and we spoke about how you define yourself. How do you define yourself? Someone asks you, what do you do? What are you going to say? So her husband and her daughter say, he actually ran a shoe store. And therein lay the irony. Yael Mermelstein and Mishpacha wrote this. My father's friend passed away young, and he had been a working man. But when I asked what he did, she didn't tell me anything about his business or the shoe store. That was how he supported his family. But what did he do? That had an entirely different answer. Next time, she writes, somebody asks me what I do, I'll probably tell them I'm an author. Maybe I'll mention books or a project I'm working on. But maybe I'll think about something else. An answer that gets closer to the core of who I am. And she finishes and says, perhaps after reading this, you'll consider it too. Va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. The Shechina is close. He's reaching out his hand. We're on the apron. And sometimes we can't get up. And it's painful, and we're afraid, and we don't understand. But he puts out his hand and he says, you live at 12 harabais, I live at 13 harabais, take my hand, we are on very good terms, I will help you up. Call Dodi Dofek. Ani Yishena Belibi Er, he's knocking at our door. We have to open up and let him in. Will we open up and let him in? And if we do, we can always remember the Shechina is much, much closer than we think. We should be zocha to Yeshua's b'suras tovas, refuah shleima, for all of Klai Yisrael, for Reza Bas Dina, b'sof she'ar cholei Yisrael, amen.